What a day to have this tune playing. Imagine being out on a golf course with a little speaker in your cart and have this fired up. Did anyone in this group, this panel, get to tee it up today? I had to do work around the house. I could not do it.
Same with me. I was working around the house. I installed a couple doorknobs, all of these handy things. It wasn't meal. Wasn't me.
Well, we know it's not Noodles because he hasn't left his house in 2.5 months, so he's never playing. But
yeah,
I played. I played this morning, and I feel good.
I called you. I asked you. You know what I asked you? Was there fluffing? And you know what that means. And you would not answer the question because you said, don't worry about it. It's like U.S. Open rules. You made a joke. Your brother-in-law, by the way, he's a stiff. He wouldn't call me back. And that guy's a joke. But where did you play golf?
I played at Deer Creek, which is basically the National is a poor man's Deer Creek. It might even be a homeless man's Deer Creek.
I got to stop you right there.
Dude, yeah, go ahead.
I got to stop you right there because you don't know this, but I told someone, I knew where you were playing golf, and I told someone to take a peek, as Noodle says, and we have Dan Mays on the line.
He's
the head pro at Deer Creek, and he took a couple sniffs around, and let's bring him in here. And Dan, please explain to us what you saw.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, you know, I guess so. Go ahead, Dan.
I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but I like to get out and take a drive around occasionally and see how things are going out there. And, you know, there was some fluffed up balls in the rough happening out there.
Dan, what do you mean by that? You're saying, like, you know, just giving it the foot wedge or, like, topping it up? Or what did you actually see?
Yeah, most people are, you know, you're supposed to play it as it lies. But some people, you know, take a liberty and they kind of get it up on top of the grass so that it sits up a little higher, easier to hit.
That's categorically untrue.
I'll handle this interview.
So Dan, I recuse myself.
Dan,
I'm out.
Did you see anything else? Did you see anything else that was kind of peculiar to you as far as golfing?
Yeah, you know, like usually when you go in the woods and all that, you've got to kind of take either a relief, play it from there. Sometimes they're marked red stakes, take a drop, you know, but there's a thing called a foot wedge and, you know, some people take liberties and can kick the ball out so it's not in the forest anymore, and you've got a little clearer shot. So that unfortunately happens out there. You know, and then there's always the six-foot gimmies.
Exactly what I'm talking about, Dan. Exactly what I'm talking about. I want to ask you, did you drive by a green and see a guy that's about 6'2", with a Titleist hat on, just pick it up and say, I'm good. Give me a six.
I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but, you know, the group you're mentioning, yeah, I did happen to see them out there. And there was some liberties being taken.
Wow.
Let's just say, you know, you got to pick who you play money for very carefully.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Dan, thank you very much for joining us, and we'll get into this after, but I'm glad you were at the course and watched this, and you can tell the people that this man does not know the rules of golf. Thank you very much, Dan.
Oh, no, my pleasure, fellas.
Thanks,
have a good
Dan.
Day.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Dan. That was great, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, 289 Dan.
Yeah, Director of golf at Deer Creek, and he took a peek, and he's like, this guy's awful.
Well, that's shameful because I just said that the National is a poor man's Deer Creek, and then the head pro comes on and carves up my game and calls into question my integrity. But listen, I played it as it lied. If I had to take a drop, I took a drop and I took a stroke. There is video evidence of my game that the grappler has put together himself. Okay, so I had a videographer out there just snapping pics at random. At random. I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. And whatever the outcome was, I was sending it to the grappler, all right? So there's a drive off 10. Yeah, there's a montage. It's up online right now. You can see it on Twitter and on Instagram. @Overdrive1050 on Twitter and @TSN1050 on Instagram. And I'm telling you, like I have a legitimate swing, a legitimate short game. I was rolling putts.
I'm watching it right now.
I'm not talking until I'm done watching this.
This guy actually looks like he knows what he's doing. Like it's quite impressive. The outfit is a little bit, I mean, what do you got?
Shaggy.
Gray pants, red shirt, black hat, right?
Yeah, it's not matching good. It wasn't exactly my go-to, like, championship Sunday type of garb. Like, there it is. It's up on TSM 4.
I just watched you chip onto the green, and that is impressive.
Yeah, that's in between clubs, too. That's about 100 yards. I hit a pitching wedge. O can tell you how tough that shot is with water in the front and death behind. Death.
Death. Here's the shot I'm talking about right here, a little chip.
Oh, yeah. See, that would – O would chili dip this. All right, that's a shot. O would either chili dip or skull.
Why
and
do
I just hit
waggle,
one to about 7 or 8 feet.
Why do you waggle so much? It's like you're not a tour player.
Because I got a vibe. I have a vibe on the course. Yes, I'm one with the universe. I am zen on the course. And when I'm waggling, the whole universe is waggling with me.
No. And by the way, that is such a Bush League move. Playing right, putting left.
Oh,
that is a joke.
I just noticed that.
Well, and I missed that putt too, right? So if you're listening on radio, you'll be able to find it. It's all over Twitter, Instagram, up on TSN4, PVR, the show on TV. So if you can't watch live, you can watch it later.
Dude, but, I'm watching it again. You take forever to hit the golf ball. Like, hit the ball.
It takes me a long time. I actually told Grappler, he had to cut out a lot of my buildup. Like, I have...
Your footage?
The yips, basically, before I actually get into the launch zone. And it's not ideal. But because I'm a decent player, it's not a big problem. There's nothing worse. Nothing worse. And everyone's got a buddy who takes 5 minutes to hit the ball and then hits the ball 15 yards. No, it's not me. I mean, I take a while to hit it, but once I hit it, I connect. And I shot an 86 legit today from the blues. Yardage probably total around 6,700. So, you know, the National is a lot longer than that. It's probably a bit tougher, a little bit tougher, not much, a little bit. But, you know, I feel good about it. And it was great to be out. And also, like, we're talking trunk to tee box and launching. And I hit bombs.
How was the experience? Like, did you have to
wait
in your car?
Yeah, I loved it. Through it.
Like, that was great.
Ray
they
said you have to wait in your car and then just, like, go right up and tee it up. Like, how was the experience of doing it?
Yeah, it was I think they did a spectacular job. Deer Creek did, because you get there and someone's waiting for you before you get into the parking lot, and mask on, 6 feet away, gives you the details. You got to park over here. You go into the pro shop. You social distance. You pay individual carts or you walk. We all got a cart, and it was easy. Like, we didn't have a fourth playing with us, and we didn't see really anyone. No one was behind us. Barely anyone in front of us. The course was full. Like, there were people out there. And it's a big spot. Like, there's a lot of holes on the course.
Did you find it weird how you had to go in and pay? Like, why wouldn't they just get your card number?
I guess because it's public and maybe some people need to pay cash. Some have to pay Interac. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they don't want to be turning away business, right? Like, I would have been fine with that. I would have called in with my credit card happily. But
So how much different was that experience than just an average, you know, a year ago? Like, obviously, the carts, you got a buddy with you or your brother-in-law or whatever, like that. But, like, actually from slamming your trunk, walking in with your clubs to, I mean, obviously, you couldn't take a leak. There was no place to take a leak.
They didn't have washrooms out on the course that I was aware of. I wasn't looking for them, but I don't think they were open. I don't think they were available.
Speak for ladies, but I think every guy on a golf course is comfortable taking a piss behind a tree.
Like, guys will go, like, on the side of the wall of the built-in washroom. It's like, why don't you just walk in the door, you hooligan?
Exactly.
You know, on a course. But it honestly, Noodles, once you hit your first shot, it's the exact same outside of you don't rake the sand, which I actually didn't hit a sand shot all day because I was so locked in. And you don't touch the pin, right?
You're
leave the pin.
I didn't hit one bunker all day.
I did not put one in the in a bunker. I didn't hit water all day that I'm aware.
Maybe I hit water once. That's a lie.
I think I might have hit water once, but didn't hit any bunkers. No bunker shots.
So, you know, for the most part, you get out. You have a nice 3 hours on the course. It's good for your mind. You have some laughs with your friends and
yeah, I
family
with my dad and my brother-in-law. Yep.
Yeah,
it's okay. Great.
So, I mean, I just got one last question. Was there one particular hole where you just said, you know what, I'm in my pocket, give me a
No,
six.
I putted out on every single hole. Just
Dude,
for you. Just
stop
for you.
Saying that.
I had you on both of my shoulders. It was like the devil on one side and the even bigger devil on the other.
Okay,
and
I
just had you
I'm
chirping
calling your dad now. Now I'm
Go
calling
ahead.
Your dad.
We can call him. We'll call my brother-in-law at some point. We can get full details. You know what? I will say this. What was a strange detail or experience was I was out on the course. I teed off around 8:20. So the numbers come out. The Ontario numbers come out around 10 a.m. every day. Right. So I am in a routine of checking it. Today I did not do that because I was distracted. I was playing golf. We were having fun. We're talking. We're playing. And then you guys texted me saying, hey, the numbers are out and they're up. And I looked and I'm like, wow, this is weird that I'm out golfing and I'm still tracking the numbers and how many people are positive and the numbers are going up. Not substantially in the province, but
it's not good, though.
441 today. That's, I think, 3 or 4 days in a row they've gone up. And they're probably going to continue to go up a little bit because people are out. Like, look, the weather, it is the most beautiful day you could ever ask for today. This is actually perfect. Like,
dialed
a
in.
Perfect
like
day.
Perfect.
Perfect. If you locked this in for 365, you'd say this is the greatest weather you could ever have in your life.
I was just going to say, that's San Diego, 78 degrees every day.
Perfect.
Like, it's San Diego, perfect little breeze. Any bugs? Any mosquitoes?
No, nothing, man. So you would have been good, Noodles. It would have been a great day for you to caddy or just come out and give some, a little Q&A on what's going on. You could have interviewed me after every couple of holes. And
I'm really looking forward to, like, getting out and having an experience like that. You know, a social.
You
got to
get out of your house,
kinda,
man. You got to get out.
Yeah, I know. I've been out. So like,
I'm just having a tough time with not one hole. You just grabbed your ball and said, "I'm done."
I'm telling you, I had no meltdown holes. I had a couple of holes where I played poorly, like without question. I had a couple of tee shots that I had to reload, and I was playing by the rules. It was basically a PGA Tour event.
By the way, stop saying that because that's not the truth. What was the highest number on a hole for your card?
I think I tripled a couple of holes. That was it. I think I had two triples. I had a birdie. I chipped in for par. Chipped in for par. I'm telling you, dude, I was locked in.
Wow.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
There was no triple. You made you just said, "I'm done. Give me a five or whatever." And I know you did that.
Where's your level of confidence right now? Like, if you had to play the National tomorrow,
no,
with
Jamie.
All of this
what
pressure,
I want to play is Noodles. What is my level of concern about his scorecard, Mullen? Please hit it right now.
Mullen doesn't have Nick Cage on. Yeah.
Do it.
There it is.
Can never, never. Ask me to stop drinking.
That is my level of concern about your scorecard.
That's fine.
I know that
didn't
do that.
That's fine. I Noodles, to answer your question, Tiger Woods wouldn't have as much confidence as I would.
Really?
It really wouldn't. He wouldn't. I feel so locked in right now. I'm looking forward to it. And we'll get out to the National at some point. We're still working on a date. And for those of you wondering, because some people were wondering, I posted on Instagram this morning that I was out playing. They're like, all right, good luck, you know, break 200. We didn't play the National today. That is still, you know, in the future. But I had to get out there.
Yeah, we got to lock that in.
Yeah, knock off the rust. And I posted a video today, a bit of a hype video on Instagram, and I think people appreciate that. Just, you know, hitting bombs off the tee and a couple butter cuts and rolled in a few monster
okay,
putts.
What,
I mean,
you
that's
just
what
call your
about,
dad. Just call your dad.
Yeah, but you just talked about, like, your triples, but what you said you chipped in. What was your best shot of the day?
That was probably my best shot. I mean, I birdied a hole, so tee to green, I was just spectacular, like spectacular. But yeah, you chip in. Oh, knows that. Oh, probably hasn't chipped in for about 3 or 4 years now, maybe more than that. I mean, it's not easy. It's really tough to chip in. I was about 10 feet past the green, and just it's like a triple snake too. Like I hit a little 58 degree wedge
and. Now. Triple snake.
Read it beautifully, and it was great.
All right, call your dad. Call your dad.
No, we're calling other people today. We got Ron Francis coming up today, and we've got Jason Terry on the show. Ray's coming on. And, you know, I was going over my awards that we said we were going to do today, and I've got them. But I think, you know what we should do? Because it sounds like we're locked in. Like this 24-team playoff performance or playoff structure is happening. Yeah. We don't know when, we don't know where, we don't know the testing protocols or whatever, But it does sound like the NHLPA signed off on that. So it's going to happen. And obviously there was some pushback, as you could expect. And like the one team that I fully expect pushback on would be Boston. If the top four teams are playing a mini tournament to reseed, because Boston basically could have lost every game the rest of the way and they were still winning the President's Trophy. Right. So what if you play this little three-game tournament and you finish fourth and all of a sudden you're the four seed? And it may not matter, though. Without home ice, I'm not even sure it matters. What is home ice? Like, I guess last change, maybe, in the biggest games.
That's
game
it.
Sevens.
Matchups. Like,
matchups.
That's it.
But that's about it. So it's obviously very unconventional. But it sounds like it's going to happen. So I figured maybe we'll do this with Ray. But let's go through the prospective matchups. Like,
sure.
It's going to be Leafs taking on Columbus, and Pittsburgh's taking on Montreal. You got the Islanders playing Florida, Carolina, New York. That's just in the East. So we can do the East and the West and start breaking down some hockey here, because I think
agree.
It's going to happen.
I think the biggest jam job out of all of this is that Calgary and Winnipeg are going to face off. Like, that, those are two, like, really, really good teams. Like, and, you know, somebody's going to go home. Like, that one is a tough one. Like, I think, because if you ended up playing that out, like, Winnipeg was in right now, but on points percentage is out. And I was looking at it last night. Like, you know, when you look at the matchups, everything seems to be quite nice. But I would circle that Calgary-Winnipeg one as that's going to be a tough one. Like,
that's what you want, though.
You want compelling matchups. Like, I could argue that Winnipeg could be the best Canadian team on paper. I think we could all argue.
You could argue it.
You wouldn't, you know, it's not a lock.
I don't think there is a lock. I thought the Leafs were coming in, admittedly. I thought they would be the best team in the country, and at no point did they prove they deserved that level of confidence. But
so
I can't say that.
So the Leafs got to play, what, Columbus in a play-in round?
Yeah, best of five. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
You better get your work boots on. I know that the Leafs have more talent, but you want to get locked into that group and you want to just throw your sticks out there, then you're going to have a problem. They work, man. They grind you into the ground. So get ready to work if that's your scenario.
But there's going to be some great matchups like that. You know, Brian, you were laying it out, and I apologize for interrupting. I was more like thinking about it in those matchups, like the Rangers, Carolina. Like, I, honest to God, like, I know Carolina is such a strong team, but like, would you be surprised if the Rangers won that one?
No, of course not.
No.
Carolina's like they're a good team. They're not a great team.
Yeah.
Like, the Rangers have, I think, more of a game breaker in Panarin. Like, it's not like Aho's a good player, great player, but he's not Panarin. But who knows if Panarin shows up and even looks like Panarin or plays like Panarin. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I think that's a coin flip, Noodles. I think Columbus, Toronto would likely be a coin flip, and I think of the, how many matchups are we talking? Eight rounds to play yourself into the official 16-team bracket.
Right.
I think at least six of them would be very difficult to predict.
You're right, and you could probably almost say eight for eight are going to be unpredictable because there's nothing to go off of. We can go off of on paper how they look, but we haven't looked at any preseason. We haven't looked at how players have been playing, anything. This is basically summer. They're showing up at camp, and all of a sudden you're playing for the Stanley Cup, like a round-robin tournament to go right into the playoffs. Like, there is no guarantee that a team on paper that looks better is going to just rinse a team that's not. Like, it's I think it's a coin flip for all eight. Now, you can have favorites, but, you know, the goaltender forgets to stop pucks for three games, you're done. That's
oh,
it.
Oh, of course.
You're done.
But that goes
you're
without
dead.
Saying. That's the case any year. You know, your goalie decides, I'm just not feeling it.
You're right.
It doesn't matter if you had a four-month break, a four-year break. I mean, that ultimately is the position we should be focused on the most, always, and probably more so than ever before. Like, what the hell is Freddie Anderson going to look like? I have no idea.
Dude, every goalie, like, what?
I know, but at least there's a couple goalies where you can say, that guy's done it before, so I think I've got a read on it. Freddie Anderson has never won in the playoffs. Like,
I know. Brian, after this, there's no read on anything or anybody anymore.
Right, right.
Like, guys have been sitting in their house for 2 months, probably three. So it's not like you can say, oh, he did this back in the day. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, that's what's going to make it so fun. That's what'll make it so fun. Ron Francis coming up, former NHLer, your teammate, the guy who shoveled the pass to you 18 years ago yesterday when you scored the OT winner in Game 3 against the Leafs, and he is the GM of the Seattle team, in which I guess they're going to be putting in work too. I wonder if he's going to be there. Like, would he be allowed to come to a hub city to scout and watch? We'll ask him that. We'll see if he's got any details on that. So Ron Francis coming up, Jason Terry coming up this afternoon, Ray Ferraro's on the show. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so Ron Francis will be calling in here in just a moment. Have you ever played golf with Ron Francis, O?
What do you think? The guy was my centerman. Like, we were buddies.
Okay, just a yes or no.
Yes, simple yes or no.
Like, it's not an interrogation. I didn't ask you if you're at the scene of a crime last night.
I just think it's a dumb question. Like, the guy was my centerman. Like, we were buddies. Like, of course we golfed together. Why would you even ask that?
Well, I'm going to ask him if he likes golfing with you or he thinks that you're a pain in the ass. Like, that you, because I think you played this morning. You claim that you didn't. I'm almost positive you played this morning. Just based on the fact that you texted me at an early time, and you're not up that early unless you're going to the course.
I'm up early every day, but you got Ronnie. Ask him, buddy. Ask him if I'm a pain in the ass. You're the only guy that thinks I'm a pain in the ass to golf with.
All right. Here he is, Ron Francis, Hockey Hall of Famer, the GM
of the
Seattle NHL team. O was flabbergasted that I would suggest maybe you haven't played golf together, but he said you guys have played many times. And do you find him annoying on the golf course? Do you like golfing with Jeff O'Neill?
Well, I don't think I was ever good enough to golf with Jeff, but he did let me caddy for him for a few times, I think. So we had to go on the golf course together.
There you go.
But what he's hinting at, Ronnie, is he thinks I just, like, drive away and I don't care about other people's golf ball. And can you at least admit that I don't do that? Like, I'm not that guy.
You're not that guy.
All right.
Thank you.
You are not that guy.
All right. He is a good player, and that's the point. I mean, if we're slashing it around, he gets frustrated. And
dude, I don't.
Well, let's put it onto the ice. Where, Ron, what about your frustration with O? Would you ever, if he was chopping up the puck one night or wasn't feeling it, what kind of comments would you have for him on the bench?
No, you know, it was actually it was a lot of fun to play with O. I remember the one night we got benched together in Ottawa. I'm sure you remember this one. Oh, we gave up a couple in the second, kind of weird goals against. We got benched in the third. It was the whole period we sat on the bench was a face-off in the D zone with about, I don't know, 35 seconds left to go, and the coach taps me on the shoulder. and as I'm getting up, I'm giving him the evil look like, you got to be kidding me, right? He sat me here for 19 and a half minutes, and you're sending me out now. And O says to him, hey, coach, do you want us to win it or just tie it up?
What was the response?
There was no response. There was. I was just like, you got the nerve to put.
Yeah.
I'm like, you have the nerve to put us on the ice with 35 seconds left. Like, don't do it.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you're in a very rare position here because you're a GM. You're officially the GM of the team in Seattle, but a GM in waiting, I guess. You guys won't officially be in the league for another year. But considering the circumstances, do you feel lucky in a way? We were talking to Eddie Olchuk about this last week, that you got your staff together and some scouting together, and I guess your owner, you know, gave you the green light to do that so you could put some work in before the shutdown.
Yeah, I mean, fortunate for us, we were able to get some scouting done this year. Truth be told, we were looking to kind of get together our amateur staff as we roll into July and probably hire a few key pieces there. But now with everything sort of up in the air, we're like a lot of people, there's a lot of questions and not really a lot of answers right now. So, are they going to finish? Are they not going to finish? When's the next season start? God forbid you're not able to put fans in the building moving forward. How does that affect the Canadian Hockey League or the American Hockey League and ultimately affect our scouting as we move towards our first season and the expansion draft and the amateur draft? So a lot of questions currently.
Ronnie, are you into the, like, are you and your employees, like, doing the whole Zoom thing where you got to communicate on an iPad or a computer, or I mean, that's kind of the way things are right now. It must be awkward not to, like, get in front of somebody and say, hey, what are you thinking here?
I think we, it's actually funny you asked that question, because it was yesterday we had a staff meeting, and it was brought to our attention that as a staff, I think there had been 367,000 minutes spent on Zoom in like the last 30 days or something. Wow. With our office. So yeah, there's a lot of Zoom meetings. We're still going, you know, full forward on a lot of things with our big rank, our practice rank, you know, trying to get our name and brand all locked down. And, you know, there's things from flooring in the locker room to lighting to you name it. So a lot of projects we're still working on and moving forward on, for sure.
Ronnie, obviously with Vegas being so fresh as an expansion team in the National Hockey League, are you looking at their template and some of the things that they did as something that you could try and emulate for your organization?
Well, I think certainly when you look at the job that Joyce did and Kelly, they did a fantastic job. It'll be interesting to see as we move forward here and start to get some guidelines, whether the rules change or not, you know, cap, et cetera, you know, based on the stoppage here. But, you know, there hadn't been an expansion draft since 2000, so there was 17 years. A lot of GMs hadn't been through it. The runway probably wasn't as long for George and Kelly, but it wasn't as long for other teams to kind of manipulate their roster and hide guys either. So I think we'll get a better sense once we sort of get into that start of the 21-22 season, what things look like and having those conversations. But, you know, we're prepared to look at a lot of different directions if need be.
Might have been a bit favorable for you if they didn't go to a cup final in their first year, I would think. I mean, puts a little bit of a target on you guys. Like, how is Seattle going to match that? Like, that's, I still can't believe they did that in their first year.
Well, our owners just said we have to win the cup the first year, not just get
right.
to the finals.
But. Exactly. Yeah. You gotta one up somehow. But I guess in a way it's a template, right? Like, it's like, okay, we now that might apply to the other teams in the league. Like, okay, we may not work out the same way in terms of trades and approaching it the way that they did with Vegas. But, I mean, they obviously hit a grand slam, and you guys, I think, are dealing with similar rules, right, in terms of how it's going to work.
We've talked about it, Brian, a lot, where the GMs aren't going to be – they're not going to be diving into the deals. They're going to be like, you know what, take whoever you want.
Yeah, are you expecting that, Ron?
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, if I'm the GM of a team that I think is, you know, a team that can win the Stanley Cup, and I risk losing a significant piece in an expansion draft, I may be willing to do something to make sure that doesn't happen. So until we get there, I mean, the rules, yes, are exact same as Vegas. Now, does that change, you know, coming off, you know, the COVID stoppage here and what happens in regards to the cap, what happens in regards to, you know, if they're able to play the full 82 games or it's shortened. And so there's a lot of questions that are sort of still out there. And, you know, once we get some clear direction on things, I think it'll be a little easier to maybe sort of have a better idea of where some of the GMs would look to go.
We're chatting with Ron Francis, Hockey Hall of Famer and the GM of the team in Seattle. We all were watching, I'm sure you saw a little bit of it, the Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary. And we've thrown around different players and different teams that might be susceptible to something like that, who could give you 8, 9, 10 hours of material. And I think those early 90 Penguins teams probably could do that if it revolved around Lemieux and then everyone that was on that team and how great those two teams were. How would you feel about that if someone came to you and said, hey, it turns out we have a lot of tape from those 2 years, and we're going to play a 10-hour documentary? What would your response be to that?
Well, I think there was certainly a lot of things with that team, as you mentioned. It was a solid team, pretty deep. I mean, ironically, Jaromír Jágr was our fourth-line right winger the first cup, so... you know, certainly a lot of fun. I've always been a fairly private guy. I'm not sure I would like footage of that out there, but, you know, it was certainly entertaining, I guess, to watch the Last Dance. I think it's a little bit different, some of the things they do in the NBA that we do in the NHL, at least in that time period, but it was certainly entertaining to watch for sure.
How was Mario, Ronnie? Like, when you played with him, I know Michael Jordan, it's all coming out, how he's demanding and he challenges teammates. Was Mario anything like that, or was Mario just like, I'm going to do my thing, if you want to play good, go ahead, if you don't, I don't really care? Like, how was he, like, as one of the best players in the game?
Yeah, no, I don't know if he was the, I wouldn't categorize him as a guy like Michael and yelling at his teammates or calling him out, but there was that, that was that mutual respect. I mean, we understood, what we had as a team. We understood, what he meant to that team. And, you don't win championships by being willing to let each other down. I mean, you have to be willing to pay the price and do whatever it takes to be successful. And that's why I think we had the success we had as a team. We had a lot of guys in that locker room that were not only good players, but good leaders and wanted to win. And, I still get frustrated. I still think the best team I ever played on was the 93 team. And we got upset in game 7 by the Islanders. And to me, that was the best team I played on, and we didn't win. So, there's a lot of things that happen over the course of the year, but to be able to play with a guy like Mario and just come to appreciate his skills, not just in games, but what he did every day in practice was, sometimes you sat there and your mouth fell open. You're like, did he really just do that? It was incredible to be a part of.
You just mentioned the Islanders, Ronnie. What about one of the guys that played on that team, Ray Ferraro? We have to get into his nonsense. We just want to know.
Chicken farm.
Exactly.
We want to know why everyone on the Whalers back in the day, A, had mustaches, and B, how did Ray get the name Pee-wee? Who gave Ray that name? Who called Ray Pee-wee and it stuck?
My guess would be Joel Quenneville. He pretty much nicknamed, I think, 3/4 of the team. So he used to do it in this little funny voice, hey, little Pee-wee, Pee-wee. And then that kind of got stuck in. That's kind of where it went, but I did not have a mustache, as you can tell. It's tough to grow stuff in the shade. And,
what was with the mustaches on that team? Everyone had one.
I wish I had a simple answer for you, but I don't. It was an interesting group of guys. I mean, actually, I think NHL just did a piece on the amount of guys that came through the Whaler organization that are still involved in the game, whether it be coaching or agents or sports or management or whatever. So it's it was a fun group to be a part of for sure.
Just the grittiest team ever. It was awesome. Hartford, too. Like, you guys both played there. And bit of a grittier town, I think, as well. But anyway, we wish you nothing but success in the future, and hopefully we get some hockey back soon, and then you can get back to scouting and Zooming and doing everything you're doing. And we look forward to catching up before you guys truly launch out in Seattle. So thank you for this, Ron. We'll do it again soon.
My pleasure, guys. Stay safe, and look forward to seeing you all in person.
You got it.
All right, Ronnie. Thanks, buddy.
Right. Ron Francis, Hockey Hall of Famer and GM in Seattle.
Q just handing out the nickname, say, with just a grizzled voice chewing on a cigar.
Ah, come here, little Pee-wee.
That is just such a gritty. I'm looking over some of the old Whaler teams.
No, I'll tell you what. Like, I didn't really get starstruck or anything like that, but I used to love, whenever I went to Pittsburgh or a couple times in Carolina, Ron would text me and be like, I'm having dinner at, I knew what this meant when he said 8 o'clock dinner, if you want to come. That meant Mario was coming. And I was just like, having dinner with Mario Lemieux, man. It was like, that guy was a legend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he would be, I mean, there's a handful of guys you can think of in terms of like the Last Dance type of treatment. But I might go Mario 1 because of just the pure talent, what you hear about him off the ice, like his golf game. Like, isn't he a scratch golfer too?
Oh, beyond that. Like, he's a plus 3 handicap. Like, he's gifted god. Like, he's just a
– yeah.
He is. And wasn't there a guy named Dan Quinn who was even better as a golfer? Remember Dan Quinn? He was supposed to be like – I think he was on the tour for a bit.
Well, that would be it. If you're on the
tour, he played on the celebrity tour or whatever it is.
I thought he made like maybe I'm wrong, but I just remember Dan Quinn like playing like some serious golf. But
he played that celebrity like amateur event stuff.
Like Steph Curry would play in or whatever.
Yeah, and Fierzy and all those guys. Yeah. I guess.
Right.
But, okay.
Well, Grant Fuhr, right? Like, he was trying to get some sort of tour card, wasn't he? I don't think it was the PGA Tour, but like the Nike Tour or something. Yeah. Was it Fuhr on that, or he was trying to? Like, he could play
short.
Too.
He may have fell short, but yeah, he was close. But yeah, that Mario Lemieux, he's done it the right way. You know, he retired, became a president. He's still, he's an owner. He's involved in everything, but kind of at his own pace instead of right in the mix. Yeah.
You know? I don't hear boo from that guy.
No.
Which might not be good for the game. Maybe you could want to hear from that guy once in a while, but you never hear from Mario, ever.
Although how many old hockey players, like you never hear from Bobby Orr, ever. Like you never hear from Bobby Orr. You don't hear from Mario Lemieux. You know, Guy Lafleur is kind of in and out.
Gretzky only comments when somebody calls him and asks him, but he...
Yeah.
Right. Though he'll show up. He's in Edmonton. Like, he's working.
Yeah, he's more of a figurehead.
But, Hayes, what are you looking for, the content machine, which you are, or looking for? Are you looking for these guys to chime in on Twitter and say, that's a joke? Like,
No. I wouldn't expect, and I don't want that. I don't want to read the mentions of Mario Lemieux after, like, he trolls somebody on Twitter. Or something. You know, I don't need that. I'm not looking for anything to do with social media. But I'm into the documentary stuff now, right? Like now it's like, okay, we saw the Jordan stuff. I don't know how much of it was true. You'll notice more and more people every day are coming out saying that this was a lie, that was a lie. This got cut out, that got cut out, which was natural. You knew it because Jordan had his, finger
creative
on the
control. Yeah.
Exactly. Like he was ultimately going to give the green light and the red light when he saw fit. But I think a Lemieux doc would be incredible. Gretzky, I feel like I know a lot about Gretzky. Like Gretzky is just he was so huge, and he's so clearly like the number one Canadian athlete for so long. It felt like I knew a lot about him. Well, I don't know if I know as much about Lemieux.
Hayes, he went to L.A. He actually brought hockey to the States, technically. You know, he helped grow the game in the U.S. It's the wrong way to say it, but he helped grow the game there. And he was all L.A. You know, he married an actress. And, to me, we've seen Wayne Gretzky grow up in front of our eyes, where Mary Lemieux has just been in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And
stayed down there for the most part.
Yeah, you don't hear a lot. All I remember as far as publicity for Lemieux is I think he was selling his house in Montreal at one point. It was like $25 million. It was like a ridiculous
monster
listing.
It was up in Trombolon, I think. It was
I remember seeing that.
A shack like you've never seen before.
And Hazy, I've talked, like all of us talk to a bunch of different people daily, and the former players in any sport that I talk to, baseball, basketball, or NHL, the one comment they didn't like from Michael Jordan, guess what it was?
I don't know.
The one where he said, I knocked on the door and I saw, like, booze.
That's what I figured.
And everyone was like, oh, really? Like, you just randomly showed up and this was all there and you just had to say, I'm out of here. Like,
And the issue with that would be, are you for real, dude? Like, you really think we believe you were a choir boy for 15 years in the NBA?
That's my point. Everyone's like, that's the one comment that was a crock of you-know-what.
Yeah, that I can understand. I think it was true what was going on in the room. That is a part of the, hey, where are you going here? But also the idea that he just left and that was it and he was on his own forever. I don't buy that.
No kidding.
I don't think anybody buys that. And sure enough, that never came back up. Hey, what were you doing on the road? Like I'm telling you, I've been told when they lost in Toronto, I'm pretty sure it was John Sally who told me on the show, like live, he's like, we landed in Toronto and Jordan, who never went out with the guys, he'd hang out and play poker or whatever. But he landed, said, we're all going out tonight. And it was like, we're all going out tonight. Like, all 12 were going out. And you were going home when Jordan said you were going home. And the next day, they tip off at 12:30 or whatever, playing an expansion team, and they lost. And they only lost 9 other times all year.
Yeah.
But they were out. And you know there's someone in Toronto that saw them out and was like, wow, look at this crew.
Well, that's the dangerous game that he played with that one, where someone's going to say, you know what? I did this with him, and I did that with him, and whatever.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the stuff on the court and whether or not, some guy was great, some guy wasn't, whether or not you actually said something, that doesn't really matter. That's just building up the myth. And it's the off-the-court partying stuff like that where you're like, okay, now some guys are going to have to explain themselves, and you're not because you got up to some – some business yourself at some point.
Yeah, that's the thing. It comes like people say the words, glass houses? Like you better be careful there because that's the thing. If Jordan was a choir boy, then he can speak his mind. But I'm sure there's people that would line up and go, well, I know this about him. I saw this. I saw that. That's tough. That's really tough. I don't like that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Ray Ferraro coming up. Jason Terry will join us. We'll get back into the MJ doc with him and start looking ahead to the NBA resuming their season, whether it's regular season games, playoff games, whatever. Catch up with him in about 45 minutes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Ray's coming up in about 15 minutes. Longtime NBAer Jason Terry around 5:30. So we're looking forward to catching up with him. Doug Ellen on the show, too, who was a creator, writer, producer of Entourage. And I saw
that
show. Yeah, it was a great show. And I thought I saw Jeremy Piven, who's gone dark because
wants
he got
to do a spinoff.
Yeah, yeah, he wants to do like an Ari Gold spinoff. And I don't know if there's any traction on that. But
we'll
see if Doug can tell us anything.
Yeah, he got in some trouble, didn't he?
Yeah, he got caught up in the Me Too stuff for sure. And he disappeared. This is the first time I had heard from him in a long time. And, you know, the Ari Gold, it's such a great show. And the character, obviously it's embellished. But my understanding is it was based on an actual agent in Hollywood. And I don't know how that agent felt about the portrayal, because it's definitely over the top. But I think, you know, 5-7 years ago, an Ari Gold spinoff would have been gold. Pardon the
absolutely.
Pun. I'm not sure he could pull it off anymore. But we'll see what Doug can tell us about that into the 6 p.m. hour. And your boy Tree's on the show today, oh.
Love
we
it.
We have to ask him about his beliefs in just smoking laws and where you can do it and where you're not, because
you guys know that. I've told you, my first ever NHL exhibition game, I walked out into the hallway after the first period, and Trees and Sammy St. Laurent were smoking.
I'll never forget, Jamie, my first like alumni game for the Leafs. There was a sign in the locker room, like giant one, no smoking, and this man just lit up. He's like, I'm not abiding by that.
I love that. No, I'm not going to abide by that rule.
No, he's like, I don't care. I'm an NHLer, and I'm here to do my thing, and I'm going to have a dart. And that's...
I guess you get. I mean, there are people that don't hide it. Like, I'm a smoker. I'm gonna smoke. Like, I guess
yeah, confident smoker, you don't see that very often anymore. Like people that are, you know, the equivalent of what a vegan is today, where like in your face, I do, this is what I do, this is my lifestyle. I haven't seen anyone like offer me a cigarette. No one's offered me a cigarette in 15 years.
And we can ask Trees, but I'm pretty sure his pregame routine was a bit of like a rum and seven and a dart and then go out and play an alumni game. Like that's...
And stand on his head, I'll bet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Like the fireman couldn't score on the guy.
Yeah.
But I love him.
All right. Well, we'll catch up with him. Mark LaForest in the 6 p.m. hour. We're looking forward to that. And with Ray, we're going to go over our NHL awards, which we established yesterday. We would be doing that that homework project. So I hope you guys have your Hart, Norris, Vezina, Adams, Calder. And we're going to go through the matchups as well. Like this is actual some hockey talk into the 5 p.m. hour. Because the Players Association, it sounds like they've signed off on this 24-team playoff format. We still don't know when it happens, where it happens, the testing protocols. But that stuff the league is trying to figure out. That's not necessarily on the players. The players will have a voice in it, but the league has to present it before the players are going to vote on it. And I would guess that from a player's perspective, if they're in on this, then they're in on playing. It's just a matter of where, when, how, and testing.
Yeah.
This is a big first step.
I agree. I think they're closer to the finish line than we think. You know what I mean? As far as getting
Well, it's
this
May
going.
22nd, right? Yeah. Like, you got to be – I think you got to be playing within the next 2 months, I would think.
Yeah,
and
but
maybe
why not,
ideally,
like, get ahead of it and, like, beat the NBA. Like, don't wait for Adam Silver to say, okay, we're playing, and then Gary's got to say, oh, we're going to play too. Like, why don't you just do it first? Go ahead.
I think one of these – major leagues wants to start on July 4th. I would think it would be baseball time. They're more caught up in that. But I think July 4th, Independence Day down there, it's such a big day. The idea of them playing sports on July 4th and saying, okay, we're back and we're moving forward and we're going to get through this. I feel like it would be very American, probably very predictable. And I expect it to happen with one of these leagues. And maybe it is the NHL.
Yeah,
maybe it is, but that's what I expect. July 4th, someone's playing.
I'm hoping. Personally, I'm hoping. Obviously, within the parameters and safeness and all of that, but I think they're going to be focused on making a safe space for everyone. Get in there, try and there's going to be bumps in the road. But to your point, Hayes, that's still 2 months away. Like there's going to be a lot of work ahead, but a lot of things that information that's going to come out within the next 2 months that they'll be able to draw off of.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
We got to get into, there was a situation that didn't directly feature Aaron Judge, but he was indirectly involved, and it's not good. It's not his problem, obviously, but now he's going to have to probably answer for it. So we'll tell you about that. There's a big report out of Seattle about who Russell Wilson wants the Seahawks to sign, and I'm not at all surprised, but it might surprise some people. So we'll get into that. Joe Flacco, who has a new home, that just came out about an hour ago. And we got Tiger versus Phil coming up this weekend with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady also involved in that on Sunday. So we'll start teeing that up as well into the next hour. Ray Ferraro coming up, longtime NBAer Jason Terry as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.